We're talking about election recounts, how they work here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In Wisconsin, state law allows for any candidate who lost by less than a percentage point to ask for a recount. If you lose by more than a quarter of a point, you foot the bill. If President Trump wants a recount here, he'll need to pay for it. He lost Wisconsin by about 20,500 votes. Unofficial results, by the by. Clerks have until Tuesday to wrap up canvassing. What do you think of recounts? Are they worth it? Do you want one in Wisconsin for the presidential race? What about statewide races? It's 800-642-1234. Deb Otis is a senior research analyst with Fair Vote, a nonpartisan electoral reform advocacy group. Deb, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So we're in the canvassing stage here in Wisconsin. Explain how canvassing works, how results are certified.
Sure. Well, each of the individual precincts canvasses on their own, and then they submit their reports to Central Wisconsin tabulation. And we have to wait until all of these are finished before the recount process can begin. But Wisconsin is one of the states that the nation is watching really closely now, as this is a state where the Trump campaign has already announced they will pursue a recount.
So if there's not a change in the canvas when you check those votes, should you be asking for a recount? Should that campaign be asking for a recount?
Well, Fair Vote just conducted a study on recount outcomes over the last 20 years. And what we found is that it is very rare for a recount to change the outcome. This is what we saw in Wisconsin last cycle in 2016. It was the Jill Stein campaign that requested a recount. And there was almost no change in the votes after the recount. And so this year, I think we can expect there might be a small shift in votes, but very unlikely to make up the full margin by which the Trump campaign is currently trailing.
Yeah, so your group, Fair Vote, analyzed recounts from 2009 to 2019. So looking at that decade, what were your findings? What were your takeaways?
The report was actually 2000 to 2019.
Oh, 2000,
so it's a full 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah, so we looked at all statewide elections over that period, and we found that of more than 5,000 statewide elections, there were only 31 recounts. So it's pretty rare to start with. And of those 31, only 3 of them changed the outcome. So 3 recounts in all of the last 20 years actually changed who was the winner. In every case, the initial margin of victory was less than 0.05%. And we see recounts typically shifting the margins by a couple of hundred votes. So we do get small changes. But in Wisconsin right now, the margin between the two frontrunners is more like 20,000 votes, not a few hundred.
And so when can you officially ask for a recount?
The campaign can ask for a recount after the canvass is complete. And as you said, folks have until the 17th, which is next week, to finish the canvass. And we are expecting the Trump campaign to announce that they're pursuing a recount at that time. They will have until the next business day to request the recount. And then the state is really on the clock to complete that recount within a set amount of time, 13 days.
13 days to do a recount. Georgia is doing a hand recount of its millions of ballots. What does a hand recount entail? What is that distinction?
A hand recount means election officials will look at every single ballot by hand. That's different than an automatic recount, which means the same machines or the same computer would run the tally a second time. So in Georgia, I think we can expect some images of election officials bending over desks, poring over every single ballot to make sure they get the count right.
So they'll be kind of bleary-eyed there, and it will be humans then poring over every ballot.
Yes, and in Georgia, they have just 14 days from when they start their count, so they are also on the clock.
So what is the cost of this? I mean, what are the costs of recounts? What have you found?
Recounts typically cost millions of dollars to do a statewide recount. In Wisconsin, as I believe you mentioned, it looks like the Trump campaign will be on the hook for this bill. If the margin is very close, then the state will pay. But since the margin is not that close this year, the requesting campaign needs to pay for it. In 2016, we saw Jill Stein's campaign request a recount. They paid about $3.5 million in 2016. So we might expect something in that ballpark.
Something in that ballpark around the $3.5 million range for a recount in Wisconsin. Talking with Deb Otis, a senior research analyst with FairVote, that's a nonprofit, nonpartisan electoral advocacy, reform advocacy group. We're discussing recounts, what they mean, how they work, going on the inside of recounts, and what Deb is seeing here in Wisconsin and across the nation with your questions. What do you think about recounts? Are they worthwhile? Do you want there to be a recount in Wisconsin? What and who do you think should pay for it? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Have you seen any trends in recounts, Deb? And by, I mean, are they becoming more frequent from one election to the next? Or are we kind of requesting the same amount? Or are elections becoming so close that recounts are going to become standard practice?
There is one trend that I've noticed, and it's on the legal side. I would not say that recounts are becoming more frequent, but more states are implementing laws to create automatic recounts when the margin is within a certain small amount. In a lot of cases, that's 0.5%. These automatic recount laws started gaining popularity around the 1970s, and more states have adopted it since then. I think recounts are a crucial part of our election system when margins are close. They uphold the value of every vote if an outcome is in doubt. And so I think it's interesting that over the last 20 years, more states have implemented these laws to do automatic recounts instead of asking the campaign to request one. And I think it's appropriate to do those only when the margin is very close, because for an automatic recount, the state taxpayers will be on the hook for the money. So important to do with close margins, but probably not necessary, probably overly expensive if the margins are not so tight.
And for recounts in Wisconsin, is this an automatic through the computers recount, or are we talking about a hand recount here?
Well, we actually don't know yet. Wisconsin state law does not specify. And so once this recount petition has been received, the election administrators will determine how to do that recount. I suspect they're already working hard on creating this process because they know it's coming. In 2016 in Wisconsin, some areas did count by hand, and many of the ballots were recounted via machine.
So during Election Day, there were observers from both parties at the polls watching the ballots take place, watching, observing the process of opening those absentee ballots and feeding them through. Is that allowed during a recount?
Yes, absolutely. Observers may attend, including campaign representatives, legal counsel, media, and others. Observers may view and observe the materials. They may ask questions, but observers may not actually physically handle the ballots and the materials, but they may certainly be there and observe closely.
Let's bring in Lisa, who's joining us from Appleton with a question. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Sure. The number 20,500 keeps on coming up as the number that Biden has won by, but what is the grand total, and is it within that 0.25% or whatever you're looking at that the campaign has to pay for? And I guess that's the first question. The second question is, do you make the campaign pay up front? Because in what I see in the past is that the president doesn't pay his bills. So would you ask the money up front if it's something that the campaign is supposed to be paying for because it's over the percentage?
Thank you, Lisa. Great questions. Deb, go ahead.
That is a great question. And yes, some money gets paid up front. You asked about the margin and the total number of votes. There are about 3.3 million votes in Wisconsin. And so you asked if it's within that 0.25%. It's not. The margin is about 0.6% right now. So it is well outside of that margin where they would get it for free. So they will be paying.
They will be paying, and you pay up front. You pay before the work starts, the recount starts.
Yes.
Let's bring in John in West Allis with a question. Hi, John.
Hey, yes, the previous caller had the same question I did about the payment being due up front. My only other comment is, you know, to err is human. So I really think to be on the safe side, I would have, you know, the ballots recounted by the machine, but just simply witnessed somebody from the Election Commission, somebody from the Republican Party, someone from the Democratic Party to stand there and watch. I think then the results would be irrefutable.
John, thank you. Yeah, observation, John is saying, so important, especially in the recount process.
I absolutely agree. I think one of the nice things about a recount is that some human intuition can be added into it. You know, we can imagine a type of ballot that a machine would have a hard time reading, but a human would look at it and immediately understand that voter's intent. Like, oh, well, I see that their pen spilled some ink, but they've clearly circled this one and drew an arrow toward it. So that's their choice. And so it's absolutely important when the margins are very close to have a couple of humans supervising this closely.
Okay, because the computers may not quite understand the intent and it might take us to discern or someone to discern, that human brain to discern, you know, what is going on with that ballot.
Yes, that does not happen to too many ballots.
Okay.
Recounts typically change the results by very small numbers, but even so, we want to uphold the value of every single vote.
Research analyst Deb Otis from the organization Fair Vote. President Trump's campaign is seeking recounts in hopes of dramatically changing the results in several battleground states. We're learning how recounts work as states finalize their results. When are recounts practical and when are they a big waste of time and resources? What do you want to know about their cost and the time it takes to do one? How should they be done, by hand or with a voting machine or both? Will you rest assured about President-elect Joe Biden if there is a recount in your state? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Deb Otis on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Deb Otis. She's senior research analyst at Fair Vote. That's a nonpartisan election reform group. As states finalize election results, we're learning about the very specific processes around recounts and when they're triggered. George is with us from Monroe. Hi, George.
Hey, good morning. A couple of questions about this recount research. It seems counterintuitive to me that a hand recount will be more accurate than running the ballots through the machine, and certainly far more time-consuming, particularly in Georgia, where they're apparently going to do a hand recount on 7 million votes. I mean, how in the world can anybody think that's more reliable than what's already been done? Do the observers, is there any difference between what observers do if the recount is by hand versus machine-fed?
George, thanks. So what's more accurate, hand or machine, is George's first question.
That's a good question, George. Our research shows that they are about equal. They each shift the margins by these very small percentages, and it's about equal between hand and manual recount. So as you say, a hand recount will take longer. It will be more expensive. The reason to do a hand recount would be if you think something might be wrong with the machines. In Wisconsin and in Georgia, as far as I know, there is no evidence of any mechanical failures like that.
George also wanted to know the role of the observer. Is the role of the observer different based on whether it is a hand count versus a machine recount?
No, the role of the observer is the same. They may be in the room, they may visually inspect the materials, but they may not handle the materials, even if the election administrators are counting by hand.
George, thanks. Rita is with us now in Green Bay. Hi, Rita.
Good morning. It's a great day in Wisconsin. Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I have a couple of thoughts and trying to put them into decent words. First one, can the Electoral College votes change if the recount changes? The other one would be, is I understand the recount and all of the ramifications you're talking about, but who can validate or verify that there aren't double or triple votes or votes given for people who didn't vote, but other people received their ballot at their home and just sent it in, or that a dead voter rolls.
So Rita wants to know, how do you fend off fraud or election fraud through recounts? Starting there with that question, Deb.
Part of the recount process is reconciling the list of voters, and so election administrators will be comparing the ballots they have with the list of who voted and who was eligible to vote, and so they will be looking for issues like that, of course.
And certainly that if there would be, which is very unlikely that it would happen, but if the recount would, say, have the winner change, that would, in fact, as Rita mentioned, would change the Electoral College count.
Yes, the Electoral College does not meet and cast their votes until mid-December. And so any changes that we find before then will absolutely change how the state allocates their electors.
Dan in Sun Prairie has a question. Hi, Dan.
Hello. My question is, does a recount look for irregularities? I know Rita kind of touched on that, but I mean, like, we had 200,000 some people on the voter rolls that needed to be looked at that weren't looked at. I mean, will this now be looked at? Should we not have done that prior to this? So there's, you know, the biggest question is, do we look for irregularities in a recount?
Yeah, Dan, thanks.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yes, that part of matching up the voter rolls with the stack of ballots that are in possession is part of the recount.
And the terminology here, what is the difference between a recount and an audit?
Well, a recount is recounting all ballots, counting the same set of ballots a second time to check and make sure that the count matches. An audit is something different. Post-election audits count only a small number of ballots, and they use statistical tools to try to say, we have X percent certainty that the count was correct. And so it's a way to do a small partial recount to check whether we got the results right without the cost and time of doing a full recount.
Are audits part of the certification process?
I'm not sure of Wisconsin law on audits.
All right, let's bring in Ben now in Partyville. Hi, Ben.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So who's to say that the first count wasn't correct and the recount was incorrect? And additionally, if the margins are vastly different, is there any a time where a third recount takes place?
Oh, goodness. So third recounts, has that ever happened, Deb?
It has. Who remembers Florida and the hanging chads? So, yes, it is possible that the recount could also not be correct. And so in Florida, first, there was a statewide electronic machine recount. The recount changed the margins a bit, but not as much as the Gore campaign needed to overtake the Bush campaign. So they requested a hand recount as yet another recount of just a few counties, just the counties where they thought that there had been some irregularities. And so that's absolutely possible. But remember that we are on the clock. The Electoral College meets on December 17th, and most states will be scrambling to complete their results by a week before that, December 8th. That's what's called a safe harbor deadline, when states will want to have all of their legal challenges resolved and all of their counts complete and certified and ready to go. So the recount process cannot go on forever. That's why the Supreme Court stepped in that famous 2000 recount.
Deb Otis, Senior Research Analyst with Fair Vote, a nonprofit, nonpartisan electoral reform group. We're looking at recounts, how they work, the historical context that helps guide us today. With your questions, 800-642-1234. Amanda is joining us in Milwaukee with a question. Hi, Amanda.
Hi. I had a question. I wanted to know if there is a watermark on each ballot that you can identify the real ballots versus the fraudulent ones, and are they taking that into consideration with identifying that when they do the recount?
Deb, go ahead.
I'm not certain how they'll be handling watermarks on ballots. I was under the impression that there is not any evidence of widespread voter fraud in Wisconsin.
And so when we see the term irregularities, which the Trump campaign has been going after specifically in Wisconsin, what might those irregularities be?
I suspect those will be irregularities with how ballots were marked. There were questions in the past from the Trump campaign about which types of pens or markers could be read by machines. Luckily, the machines can read your pens or your Sharpies or whatever. But I suspect that might be one of the things that folks are looking for. And ballots that get rejected by a machine that come out as unreadable, those would be ones where a human can take a look.
As we start to wrap up here, what are you watching for in the days ahead as these recounts and whether they will happen, what unfolds?
I'm watching for two things. One of them is how many states are doing recounts and how many states need the outcome overturned. Right now, it's looking like Joe Biden has a lead in more states than he needs to win the Electoral College. So even if the Trump campaign could reverse the outcome in Wisconsin, that still might not be enough. So I'll be closely watching which states are needed, which states the Trump campaign is targeting, and how many they'll need to overturn that outcome. The second thing I'll be watching is this safe harbor deadline. This is December 8th, which is a little less than 4 weeks from now. And that is the date by which states, election administrators, and the courts will be scrambling to complete and certify all of the results. So we're on the clock here.
Deb, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Deb Otis, a senior research analyst with Fair Vote, a nonprofit, nonpartisan electoral reform advocacy group. Coming up, we talk about what it takes to find a job right now and how to look for and explore new career options during a pandemic. Are you sending out resumes? How is it going? Any leads? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.